It's Open Threads. I'm Brian Castle. It's my podcast. Welcome to it. Today, my friend Ian Landsman is back on the show. We're going to continue our conversation. And, you know, if there's any friend who I feel comfortable enough to venture into some conversation around news, world news, even into a little bit of politics, it would be Ian. Hey, before I roll today's episode, here's my real-time update on what I'm working on. I'm recording this update on March 8th, 2024. Well, if you've been following my story heading into this year, then you know I'm in a transition phase. I'm exploring some new directions to take in my business. And this month, I decided to come back to my roots and focus my energy on what I do best, and that's building new products. So I've launched what I'm calling a product studio, and I'm calling it Instrumental Products. It's where I get to partner with fellow founders, creators, and SaaS companies on taking new product ideas from concept to launched. And, you know, since I'm a full stack designer and developer, my focus now is on continuously building new software products and continuing to grow that muscle. Sometimes I'm building products with clients, sometimes with partners, and building some new products of my own to grow out my portfolio at Instrumental Products. And as always, I love to build in public on my YouTube channel and on Twitter and, you know, share the process of taking new product ideas to life. So that's what I'm up to, building products in public. And I'm still running my SaaS product, Clarity Flow, which is doing its thing this year. All right, so that's my update. You can follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at CastJam. I'd love to hear from you if you have any feedback for anything I'm working on, especially this show on the podcast. And with that, let's get into today's show. He's one of the few friends of mine who is not only a news junkie, just like I am, but he's much more open and public about what he's thinking on various topics in that realm. Much more than I am. I am a news junkie, but I just don't share as much publicly, like on Twitter and whatnot. But part of the reason I started this podcast was to get into topics like this that I am interested in talking about and thinking about and learning different perspectives on. Although, to be honest, Ian and I probably share many of the same opinions, some different. But anyway, I thought it was a really good chat talking about specifically news diets and where we get most of our information from and how we balance what we're paying attention to and who we're paying attention to. So anyway, I hope you enjoy it. And if this sort of stuff is not your thing, yeah, you can skip it. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about something completely different. That's Open Threads for you. For now, let's talk news with Ian. Well, it's fun kind of speculating about this stuff. I'm going to do like a hard turn into this other segment. This won't be a long one, but I'm trying to find opportunities to talk about topics that are outside of our normal software startup land. And all right, so here's just a random thing that I've been thinking about lately, right? Like in terms of news consumption, news diets, right? I know you're a fellow news junkie like I am.
Right.
You're much more public about it on Twitter than I'm willing to. There's so many like political tweets and stuff that I end up deleting and don't put out there. But
right. It's probably better.
All right. So I've been a paying subscriber to the New York Times for many years now. And I do follow a lot of news outlets, but I think that's the only one that I actively pay for. But lately, more and more, I've been feeling like, not that I'm going to unsubscribe from the Times, but it's not fulfilling the job to be done for me anymore. Like, I feel like I need to expand the range of news that I'm consuming. You know, most people are like, oh, I need to quit news for a while. It's too much. I'm not looking to get more news. I'm just looking for more variety of opinion, I think. And there was a time a couple of years back where everyone, they still hate on the Times, but everyone, you know, for a long time, like, oh, NYT is way leaning left and they're so biased and all this stuff. And I didn't really buy into that for so long. Like, you could make your arguments about the opinion writers, but I mean the actual news.
Right.
You know, I'm like, no, there's still some of the best journalists in the world. And if you want to find out what's happening in the world, you look at the front page of the New York Times. That's been my attitude. But I feel like in recent times, that's less and less true. And they're like major world
happenings or just things that should be reported on that are not making it into the front page of the New York Times that I think should. And it just has me thinking, like, what am I missing? What should I be expanding into? Anyway, the question that I have for you is, like, what does your news diet kind of look like these days?
Well, all right. Well, in terms of things we pay for the Times and the Washington Post and the Atlantic, I think. And I would say, like, the Times, the main draw of the Times, actually, my wife loves to read the physical paper on the weekends. So we get the Sunday Times.
Getting the hands dirty. I like
it. Like, is in there reading the paper, old school style. But then obviously it lets you, like, read online or whatever. Like, I don't ever really go to the homepage of the NewYorkTimes.com or anything like that, or even the Washington Post. I mean, I think the two main, like, ongoing sources would be just Twitter people I follow. I mean, I follow enough political people and news people that I feel like, I mean, Twitter is still, like, the fastest way to get news.
Yeah,
I feel like there's nothing faster than Twitter. And then I actually really like, and this is, like, you know, strong feelings on this possibly, but I really like Google News. Like, I actually think Google News does a pretty good job of, like...
So it's, like, curating different feeds.
Yeah, like, if you go to news.google.com, I think it is, like, they just curate and, you know, they're tracking your butt all over the place. So, like, they know what you're reading and everything, but then they're feeding you, like... I think they do a good job of, like, showing you other types of things. Like, they're definitely showing you the stuff it knows you're interested in. But I do think you get, like, here's often, like, on a big story, there's, like, the main one, but then there's, like, multiple other sublinks to different news outlets and things.
Yeah.
And then there's topics, which I would never have searched out, which it shows, like, usually farther down. So, like, that's usually where I'll scroll through.
I never started using Apple News, which I guess is a similar... Right. To that, they sort of
I didn't really got into that either. I don't know. It was also hard to share links from it or something. Like, it always links to Apple News links, and I find they don't work or something. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes check the headlines on the Washington Post. The ones that I make the daily rounds are, like, I do go through the homepage of the New York Times and rabbit hole into different places from there. And then Axios is the other one that I read a lot. I like the format, how they do, like, the bullet points and very concise. I also like that, like, and I'm sure many people on the right or conservative would disagree with this, but, like, I find them to be pretty close to center down the middle, like, just the facts. Just give me the news. And that's what really turns me off about.
People don't want that, right? Like, the reality is people don't want that. Like, that's the reality. That's the unfortunate thing.
It's like the reality is I do, in terms of reading the New York Times, I spend most of my time there reading opinions, right?
Right.
That's where I feel like I'm missing real big picture on all the major stuff going on. Like, other ones that I'm interested in now are, like, I'm reading the Morning Brew more than I used to, the newsletter, which I'm sure they just curate from all the major news, but, like, that too feels like a little bit down the middle.
Yeah, Bloomberg. I actually really like
Bloomberg. Was Bloomberg the other one that I
does
I
this
don't
newsletter
pay...
that's pretty good. You have to be a paying member.
I'm not a paying member on there. That's the one that I was looking at actually this week. Like, if I'm going to pick up a new subscription, like, Bloomberg might be the one where it's like it sort of gives me, like, a different balance of what I'm getting from New York Times. You know,
the Bloomberg newsletter, that's like a morning and evening newsletter, I think they do, like, is super good. Like, because it's like just a paragraph on, like, three paragraphs with, like, each one's, like, the top story, you know, a top story type thing, and then other stuff in there, and that does a really good job, too. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, how about, like, tech news? Like, what are you following?
I mean, I just, like, follow Twitter. Like, I mean, I don't really follow too much. I mean,
you know what? Actually, I do pay news. For.
I'm following everybody on Twitter who I'm interested in the tech I'm interested in, so I'm kind of, like,
yeah.
I don't really go other places for that.
I am a fan of reading John Gruber's blog. I don't agree with his opinions on everything, you know, and he's like a super, like, Apple,
right?
Apple obsessed journalist, I guess. But him and Ben Thompson, who runs Stratechery, he's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the other thing I subscribe to. See, if I knew I was going to have a list of subscriptions, Ben Thompson,
the two of them,
you
like
have to subscribe to that. That's, like, amazing.
I don't think that I subscribe to Stratechery, but I subscribe to their podcast.
Okay.
Their paid podcast, Dithering. And that's pretty cool. It's like, I think it's like twice a week, exactly 15-minute episodes,
right.
Just talking about, like, whatever the main, the major story
all
is.
Tech stuff. Yeah. No, if you're interested in the tech, like Stratechery or however he says it, I don't know. The name is horrible, but he's the best. Like the analysis is unbelievable. Like so good. Like exposed me to all kinds of interesting things. So definitely do that. And that's just pure tech, really.
Where are you at on like television? Like, are you like anti-news?
Oh, no. Television news. No, not really doing too much TV news. Like, I have that old man nostalgia for like, just throw me some Peter Jennings for half an hour at night. Like, that would be great, but I don't know. It doesn't really exist anymore. And it kind of doesn't fit into modern life exactly for like at 6:30, we're all sitting there and we're going to watch Peter Jennings.
So yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I've definitely moved away. Years ago, I was a junkie for all things politics and all that. I still follow it, but like, I've definitely become a lot more turned off by mainstream television news. So like MSNBC, CNN, Fox, you know, I'm just not in that camp. I can't watch that.
Right. It's unwatchable. But even the other ones are sort of unwatchable from a like not necessarily extremist perspective, but even just the like there's something about the format that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, and just anything that is so clearly like you're preaching to the choir is not interesting to me at all. You know, like anything after whatever 7 or 8 p.m. at night is not, I mean, I don't have cable anymore, but in terms of like getting that stuff.
The opinion shows.
Yeah, the opinion shows. Yeah.
Plus, I feel like that's where I feel like Twitter has replaced all that for me. Like I get everybody's opinion. I hear everybody's opinion with both sides. Like,
you know what though? There are Twitter
a few times a day. I got it. Like
there are some television shows that I think still do a good job of this. Like I do tune into Real Time with Bill Maher, like almost every
week. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be people who are like, oh, like I hate that guy or that show or whatever. But I feel like that is one of the few shows where he actively invites opposing opinions to a table to legitimately, like, debate a topic. You know, it's kind of crazy to me how little of that there is on television and podcasts and whatever else.
Well, that's like they're not going to even have debates at the presidential election.
That's insane to me. You know, and
no
even
debates.
Like,
we're not having any debates anymore. Just hash it out on Twitter.
It's just insane. Like just if you believe in an opinion, as everyone obviously does, why don't you go fight it out, you know, and try to win the argument? I don't know why that is not a more popular thing.
I think because it's all about like, it's not about like collaborating to the best solution, which ultimately even a debate is sort of theoretically about, right? It's just about like you have your talking points that are known to work and against the targets, your targets, which are your constituency, and you don't want anything to risk being off message, right? Your message is obviously Trump had very specific messages, right, about who's bad and what they're doing wrong and all that stuff, and like what's the point of opening that up and letting even those people hear another perspective? Like you want to just keep them in the echo chamber. So, I mean, I think it makes total sense from the diabolical minds that are involved.
Like a strategic political mind. Right, I sort of get it. But at the same time, it's like,
is it good for the country? No, it's not.
Yeah. And I actually do think that like it turns off. I don't know if there's actual polls to reflect this, but like, I think that there's a growing middle of the road voter. I feel like I'm very much in that camp and I'm like gettable, who can make an argument, but like, and then I get turned off by the extremes on both sides. Right. So, and I feel like if these parties actually start to try to bring the argument to the middle, like that would.
But the problem is that that's not how the structure of the parties, like the primaries and stuff are not built around any of that, right? The primaries are not built around the middle. They're literally built around the extremes because they're built around the people who will vote on May 14th in an off year for some random dude like that, like when nobody's paying attention. And that's going to be the like fringe elements a lot. And so I think that that's why it's all kind of got leveraged up here in large part because the system is not built for that.
I think the
nuanced discussion or middle ground and stuff.
Yeah. I guess I watch like the Daily Show more for like news that's sort of like entertaining.
Hey, real quick. This podcast is sponsored by Instrumental Products. That's my product studio where I and my small crew, we take new product ideas from concept to launched. I'm a full stack product designer and developer. And I love collaborating with fellow founders, creators, and SaaS companies to bring that spark of energy into new product ideas. Think of instrumental products as your shortcut to shipping that next idea and getting it into the hands of your customers as efficiently as possible. Got something to ship? Let's talk. Visit instrumentalproducts.com to learn more.
The only other TV thing that I watch is The Circus on Showtime.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
John Heilman?
Mm-hmm.
So he produces it. It's him.
Okay.
And like three other hosts. I forgot their names. But it's like two that are like left-wing, two that are more right-wing. And they all co-host. And basically, it's not like an opinion show, but they're just sort of like reporting on the big stories this week. And then they talk to both Democrat and Republican and other people involved. Like, and it's really, really well produced in terms of like the cinematography and the way that they put it together. It's pretty cool. But like, it's just like one of the few things where it's like, wow, you actually hear opposing, like, I'm not going to agree with half the things that are talked about here, but it's, at least I'm exposed to it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's hard because it's also like, I mean, like, people who follow my Twitter feed probably think I'm quite far left, but I'm actually really not. Like, in my actual opinions, I'm actually not that far left.
Yeah.
But I am, like, very far left in terms of, like, I'm very opposed to Donald Trump. So, like, that comes off as a certain perspective. And but that doesn't mean like I might have more nuanced positions on fiscal policy or abortion even or all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There is this also this element right now of like.
I'm the same way. Like in my life, I've tended to vote left. But I find myself now, especially in the last couple of years, more and more just disagreeing with more of the policies and people on the left. But I'm still in a place where like there's no world where I can vote for the GOP. That's just not going to happen.
Right. But there's it does feel like there should be some options. Like
they've gone off the edge of the cliff. Whereas like on the left, they're becoming a little bit more crazy, but still in the realm of sanity. This is where I get where I'm like, I'm gettable. If any of the sane Republicans were if they were to break off, and I know a third party is like impossible in this country, but like if that were to gain traction, I'm the market that they could get. And I feel like there's a lot of people here, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's all sort of been structured so that they don't need you. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, they win without majorities.
Do they win?
They haven't.
I don't know.
They haven't. Yeah, I mean, you have to have overwhelming efforts. So hopefully that could happen in areas, especially around Trump. It seems impossible that it could be like this forever, like ongoing for a long time, but maybe it can be. I don't know. I do think it's like I've been a huge loss in just in terms of news to like when you had, and I'm sure like they weren't straight news people, but like ultimately like when
everyone agreed filtered, on what the facts are, you know?
Yeah. Like it's like if Dan Rather and Peter Jennings and the other guy, Brokaw, they're all kind of giving you the same thing and they're trying to at least play it sort of straight. And I'm sure they had their biases and blah. But like everybody watched that. Everybody had a similar set of facts. And then you could go to like your opinion places to get the opinions. There was always magazines or whatever, like where people could get their stronger opinions and that's fine. But you could kind of operate off core set of facts. Whereas like without the core set of facts, it's just a freaking free for all. So I don't know.
And just like a different set of, like, yes, we might disagree on like whatever tax policy or foreign policy, but like, that's just our opinions on that. It's not like life and death the way that it seems like it is today. You know? Anyway, well,
yeah.
For the few people who are still tuning into this political chatter on this like sort of business podcast,
I like a podcast that wanders from its core premise. Like, you can't have it be too on the nose.
That's literally why
those are boring.
I named this thing Open Threads for that purpose. It can go in any direction. So that's what this is.
No, I listen to very few podcasts that are like, this is what we talk about every single. I basically listen to none except the Rewatchables because I love movies. And even that, it's kind of different every time.
Is that the thing from like Bill Simmons and all that?
Yeah, Bill Simmons. Yeah. That's the best podcast out there.
And you know what? That's another news. I do read The Ringer. Just the website, just to get like random, like it's so funny how they mix
culture.
They mix like culture and TV with like NBA news,
right?
Like that's like the whole site, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of genius, right? You like figured out that like those groups overlap heavily, and it's worked.
Yeah,
you got bought for $200 million, right?
So. Yeah. Well, hey, Ian, it was great, great to kind of ramble about random stuff here.
Yeah, I love it.
Have to have you back on and we'll figure out some other random topic to cover.
I'm always available to talk about nothing. Just let me know.
Awesome.
That does it for today's episode of the Full Stack Founder Podcast. As always, the show notes include links to the YouTube channel for this podcast, where you can catch these full interviews on video, and my YouTube channel. That's where I'm building products in public. See you next week.